Chapter 9.
Let's look around for some clues about where it could have gone, I suggested to Una, and the beautiful cat girl nodded in response. I gripped the handle of my torch tightly in one hand, and I kept my free hand near my sword hilt just in case we ran into some trouble. If another sniffer snatcher popped out of the forest, I would be ready. I'd been unprepared during my first run-in with the dog monster, and I wasn't going to let that happen again. Not if I could help it. The two of us combed over the area surrounding the crater where I'd dropped the dog monster a few days prior. I couldn't believe it had already been multiple days since I'd first heard Una scream in the happy fields, but here we were, back at the scene of the crime. I glanced around at the smiling trees, and I wondered if it was worth the effort to try to talk to them. They hadn't been the most talkative the last time I was there, but maybe they would be more willing to chat today. Hello, I said with a friendly smile as I approached the tree closest to the crater. Did you see anything around here recently? The smiling tree grinned a little wider, and its wooden eyes peered at me unblinkingly, but no words were offered up. Maybe I hadn't been loud enough? I didn't see any ears on the wooden trunk of what looked to be an oak tree, but that didn't mean much in all the land. I decided to try one more time, so I cleared my throat.
Alex, look!
Una suddenly gasped, so I gave up on talking to the tree and trotted over to her. She stood and pointed at a second crater in the ground, roughly 50 paces away from where the dog monster had lain previously.
It's a footprint!
The crater was about 10 feet long by 4 feet deep, and several rounded sections suggested toes on one end. The dirt around the edges cracked, and rocks tumbled into the hole as we peered down into the bottom. Was it one of my footprints from my time as a giant? I'd trampled through these woods for a while during my stint as a giant, and then I'd headed toward the distant mountain to the east, but this print was going in the opposite direction. It was possible for it to be a mark I'd made, but the edges of this print were crisp and fresh. It had been made more recently than when I'd been here, so I decided it couldn't have been made by me, and the only explanation was another giant had been in the area. Una! I furrowed my brow as I thought about all the clues we'd found so far. Are there giants in all the land?
Of course,
Una nodded.
Where else would they live?
I think that's what took the sniffer snatcher. Either that or someone who drank a big potion. Are there any more tracks like this nearby? I turned a scrutinizing eye to the neighboring trees, and I noticed several snapped branches and torn leaves. Something had knocked the forest around a bit, and it had been very big. A giant seemed like the only possible explanation, even if it wasn't logical.
I see another over there! What do you see with your human eyes, Alex?
Una asked with a tilt of her head, and she blinked into the torchlight with large dilated pupils.
Wait! I can see better. Alex! My vision has improved!
Are you sure? I raised my eyebrows. The sun had set long before, so I wasn't expecting her vision to be the best since she'd drunk a night vision potion while escaping the Clover Fortress, and with the opposition effect still in full force, she should be practically blind.
I think so.
Una shook her head and blinked a few more times, and then a broad grin slid across her face.
Yes, my sight has definitely improved, and so has my agility. I've been far less clumsy than usual ever since we... Alex, I think you are magic.
What do you mean? I frowned. I'm the dreamer, aren't I? Isn't that magic? What does this have to do with your side effects or your vision?
They're going away, Alex,
Una said, and she reached for my hand.
My vision shouldn't be this good for weeks. I drank the 2 bottles' entire contents, so I should still be suffering from the effects for much, much longer.
I don't understand. I shook my head.
When you claimed my body, you gave me your seed, and I...
Una blushed, but her tongue darted out to lick her lips as her eyes grew earnest.
You saved me, Alex.
That's crazy. You're basically saying my sperm healed you. That sounds crazy.
Totally bonkers.
Una agreed with an emphatic nod.
So it makes utter sense, yes?
No! I insisted, but Una flinched, so I took a deep breath, ran my fingers through my hair, and reached for her hands with an apologetic smile. I'm sorry. I'm just a little confused.
Your seed healed me, Alex.
Una repeated in a serious voice.
I have to tell the others! They'll all want you to heal them, too!
I imagined a veritable horde of animal-women hybrids warming around me and fighting over who got my sperm first, and a shudder swept through my body. While I enjoyed having sex just as much as anyone else, being used for my sperm to that degree would be a little strange. I finally regained my composure, and I met Una's gaze. She bit her bottom lip, which caused her two sharp fangs to protrude over the edge, and I was overwhelmed with adoration for this wonderful, sexy cat girl. Look, let's wait until we get back to Havenwood to talk about it more, I said in a much calmer voice. We'll get you checked out by the doctor, and she can figure out what's going on with your side effects. We should be grateful, though. This means you're getting back to normal, right?
Perhaps. But what do we do now?
Una asked, and her ears flattened against her head.
This place smells of dead sniffer snatchers.
We should make camp. We aren't getting anything else done in this darkness.
At least I can see more clearly despite the shadows,
Una said in a cheerful tone, and she held her torch up high as she glanced around.
We should put some distance between us and the happy fields before we make camp. The air isn't safe here.
Gotcha, I nodded. Why don't you take the lead and I'll watch your back?
All right,
Una said as she flashed me a wide smile over her shoulder.
Right this way.
The cat girl's tail swished with a decisive air, and the hybrid hottie led me deeper into the forest, away from the laughing flowers and smiling trees. We walked in silence for several minutes, and then Una came to a halt. She examined the surrounding trees closely, but she nodded in satisfaction before she turned to me with another broad grin.
This spot looks as good as any. I'll start a fire.
I'll set up the tent. Then the two of us got to work setting up our camp, and I began to whistle a cheerful tune under my breath. I'd had the safety dance song stuck in my head ever since I'd first arrived in Havenwood, and I wondered why. In any case, the sound of my whistles made the time pass by more swiftly, and the next thing I knew, Una had a roaring fire in the middle of a circle of stones, and I had erected our temporary structure. Una speared a fish on a stick, and then she placed the contraption with one end in the dirt and the other over the flames. I shook my head in amusement at her taste in food, but I offered her some of my bacon anyway. The cat girl accepted it with a grin, and then she plopped herself down by my side as she munched happily away. "So, you primarily eat fish, but you will also eat bacon?" I asked in a curious tone. "What else do you like?"
"Fish is my favorite,"
Una nodded.
"I came across a bacon tree on the run from the Clover Fortress, so I had to fill my pouch with it, just in case I couldn't spare the time it would take to get fish."
"You'll eat them out of rivers and stuff?" I raised my eyebrows in surprise, since she'd had such a negative reaction to my explanation of how bacon was made on Earth.
"Water, land, or air,"
Una shrugged.
"I do not care where the fish come from or what kind of fish it is. Perhaps someday I will encounter one I do not like, but so far that is untrue."
"Fish only swim in water," I pointed out as I shook my head. "There can't be land or air fish."
"You certainly are strange. Have you never seen a flying fish before?"
"Well, yeah, but they don't actually fly," I argued as I pictured the fish who jumped out of the water for a short amount of time.
"Sure they do. Why else would they be called such a thing?"
Were there actual flying fish in all the land? Now that I had to see. "I suppose that makes sense," I said, even though I was definitely still confused. But I needed to see those flying creatures for myself before I believed they actually existed. Still, I had to admit it was possible for something so crazy to exist in this wild world. Una smiled as she snuggled up against my side, and I wrapped my arm around her shoulders. The fire warmed our chilled skin by the deepening darkness, but being close to her made my body temperature grow even hotter. Her eyelashes fluttered over her large violet orbs, and then she peered up at me from beneath the fine hairs.
"Alex?"
Una asked in a hesitant tone. "Yes?" I replied as I rubbed her arm.
"Do you think we will succeed?"
The cat girl's chin quivered.
"Will the Dark King fall?"
"I can't promise much, but I'll promise to try my best. I don't want anything else to happen to you, Una, and I'm going to do everything in my power to save you, and the people of all the land, from the Dark King. I just don't know how exactly yet.
We will think of something.
Una nodded emphatically.
You are not alone on this quest, Alex. I will be by your side every single step. That is my promise.
I had two ideas for tomorrow. We can follow the trail of the Sniffer Snatcher Stealer, or go after a different ingredient. What do you think?
Either is fine with me.
Una grinned.
I'm just happy you are helping me gather the ingredients. Maybe my first solo mission wasn't a complete failure. I did get the recipe, after all, and once you free the potion maker, we'll be able to heal all the sick. Oh, Alex, whichever direction you lead in, I will follow.
You're adorable. I'm glad to be with you, too, and doing something productive. Who sent you on the solo mission, by the way?
No one sent me. I went myself. Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya argued against it at first, so I left in the middle of the night.
They must have been worried sick. I shook my head in awe at her bravery. You're kind of crazy, you know that?
I believe you are growing accustomed to the way things are in all the land.
Una observed, and her tail caressed my back with long, gentle strokes.
What have you decided regarding our direction?
I don't know. I frowned. It was hard to choose between an unknown challenge and a possibly ravenous giant. Maybe we should just go to sleep and figure it out in the morning.
I am excited about sleeping beside you.
Una breathed as her violet orbs widened.
It is almost as pleasant as the orgasms you gave me.
Yeah, I enjoy it too. I squeezed her against me with a shit-eating grin spread across my face. I could seriously have died happy after making love to you for the first time, but then I would have missed out on the second, third, and fourth times.
Let's go to bed.
Una purred, and she nuzzled her head beneath my chin. I scooped the petite cat girl up into my arms, and I carried her the short distance to our temporary structure, but I had to get down on my knees before I could scoot below the entrance flaps. I crawled inside, placed Una down on the sleeping pad, and then turned around to tie the straps that held the door closed. Once everything was taken care of, I positioned myself as the big spoon to Una's little spoon, and the two of us sighed in blissful contentment. She fit perfectly next to me, and she wiggled her ass against my crotch, but I didn't even have to instruct her to do that. She just did it of her own volition. That in itself was the amazing part. Una, the cat girl, was utterly perfect, and while I couldn't have imagined her in my wildest dreams, here she was, in my arms, and I never wanted to be apart from her again. I fell asleep with a huge grin plastered on my face and my arms tightly wrapped around my feline companion. We slept the rest of the night away without incident, and I woke to the sun's rays warming the exterior of the tent. I yawned and stretched, but my movements roused Una, and the cat girl mimicked me a moment later with her own stretches.
Good morning. How were your dreams, my dreamer?
Una giggled at her own play on words, and then she started to rain kisses all over my face.
I dreamed about you. You were holding a wondrous sword made of shining, flashing metal, and you brought the light to the heart of the land. It was glorious.
Oh? I chuckled as I received her numerous signs of affection, and I could have endured the attention for hours. But we had a mission to complete, so we'd best be leaving soon. Still, Una made me realize something I hadn't thought about before. I don't think I dream while I'm here.
Everyone dreams,
Una said, and she fixed me with a concerned look.
Being the dreamer must be very odd.
More so than you would ever understand fully, I said with a wry smirk. But that's neither here nor there. Let's see that recipe again before we decide our next step.
I'll heat up some food first,
Una suggested.
No point in thinking when your stomach is empty.
Perfect. I planted a kiss on her adorable little nose, and she purred as she rubbed her face against mine. A short while later, the two of us sat with food in hand, and the recipe was spread out across the ground before us. I munched on some warm bacon and a travel biscuit, while I gazed at the strange writing like I could understand it, and Una licked her lips happily before she continued the translation.
The next ingredient is the wings of a bat bee.
What are they like? Is it going to be difficult to get the wings from them?
Bat bees are what they are.
Una shrugged.
Fast, devious little stingers who come out in the shadows of night to feast upon the tulip's sweet juices. They are usually harmless, unless one bothers them, and then they swarm with their massive needles.
Glorious. I breathed as my eyes widened. So, they're exactly what they sound like, a mixture of bats and bees. Una tilted her head to the side and furrowed her eyebrows.
What are bats and bees?
A bat is a flying creature that comes out at night to eat insects and pollen from flowers. A bee is a tiny insect with a stinger.
Earth sounds so strange,
Una said with an odd shake of her head. You're kidding me, right? All the land is completely and quite literally insanity embodied, and you think Earth sounds strange?
I suppose being the dreamer must be even stranger, to know both worlds at the same time.
It's taking me some getting used to, I reminded her with a sideways smile. But I think I like all the land a lot better than Earth. I mean, you're here, after all. Una grinned knowingly, but she didn't comment, and then her violet gaze returned to the parchment before us.
After the wings of a bat bee, it says we need talking tree sap.
Do the trees here ever talk? I asked, as I glanced around at the forest of smiling trees where we'd camped. But they just eyed us silently.
I believe it is referring to a specific tree,
Una explained, and she stuck her tongue out the corner of her mouth and scrunched up her nose in concentration.
I remember a story about the talking tree, but I'd have to ask the others for more information. I don't remember enough details to take you to it.
That's all right, I said with a bright smile. Let's just get the wings of the bat bee next, then. We can figure out the rest of it later, but no reason to let our entire trip be a waste of time.
No time spent with you is wasted,
Una assured me as she bumped her shoulder against mine.
But I agree with your plan.
Great, I grinned. So, we'll go to the field of tulips you mentioned. I'm surprised there's normal flowers here, too.
All the flowers in all the land are normal.
Well, maybe to you, but where I come from the flowers don't giggle or have faces. It'll be nice to see some basic tulips for a change.
You have two lips on Earth?
Una's eyes lit up with excitement.
What songs do they sing?
Oh boy. I'd totally heard her pronounce the name of the flower wrong. Una was probably talking about something incredibly strange. And then I suddenly pictured lips on stems. Are you saying tulips or two lips?
Two lips. They look like this.
Then Una pointed to her mouth, but that confirmed my theory.
They sing the most beautiful songs, Alex.
I can't wait to see them with my own eyes, I said with a wry smirk. We finished our food and then we packed up our small camp. Una took the lead again, and I followed happily behind her while watching her tail swish back and forth. We walked for a while in comfortable silence, and I gazed around at the landscape as we traversed the forest full of smiling trees. We passed by a few more foot-shaped craters in the ground, and by the time we came to the third one, I realized we were going in the same direction. Una, I said as I pulled her to a halt beside the hole in the dirt. Look, it's another giant footprint. Whoever took the sniffer snatcher went this way.
That's wonderful,
Una gasped as she bounced up and down on the balls of her feet.
We will be able to go after both ingredients at the same time.
Exactly. Two birds with one stone.
Let's hurry.
Una grabbed my hand and began to pull me forward.
Maybe we can catch up to them.
While I wanted to help her get all the ingredients needed to make the heal other potion, I wasn't exactly eager to run into a giant. I wasn't sure what I would do if we did catch up to the sniffer snatcher thief, but I would cross that bridge when I came to it. I still had a few tricks up my sleeve in the form of potions, so I had nothing to worry about. I chuckled as I allowed Una to pull me through the forest, but she slowed to a normal pace after a short while, and I held her hand in mine as we continued onward. I ran my fingers across the tuft of fur at her wrist as we walked, and Una flashed me a sideways grin.
You make me feel very strange things, Alex.
Same. Let's just roll with it.
I'd much prefer to stay on my feet.
I shook my head in amusement. I just meant we should relax and let things unfold as they will.
No time to relax, Alex,
Una said with a lift of her chin.
We must save all the land first.
Why can't we do both?
I suppose we could.
Una's brow furrowed as she thought it over.
You are very powerful, so perhaps it will be easier for you.
We continued to follow the tracks of the giant as we made our way to the field of tulips, and the sun made a steady streak across the rainbow sky. We didn't halt again for several hours, and then we only paused briefly to munch on some snacks before we kept going again. Then the landscape began to slowly shift, and the forest floor grew drier and drier. The trees became less numerous, and wide open spaces replaced the underbrush. I started to spot some odd-looking cacti and other desert plants scattered across the ground, and I had to look twice to confirm my first suspicion. Sure enough, the cactus I peered at resembled a large, bulbous penis, complete with two smaller cacti protruding from the stem, like testicles. I snorted in amusement, and Una shot me a curious glance. It looks funny, was all I could say around the chortles rising up my throat. I gestured to my crotch and then back to the cactus, but Una's confusion only seemed to grow.
It's a cuckold,
Una explained with a tilt of her head.
That's how they grow.
Never mind, I snickered, and the beautiful cat girl shrugged before she continued onward. The suggestive cacti grew more numerous as we left the shade of the trees and entered an open desert-like landscape. Flowers joined the succulents, and some resembled the aromatic open lips of a vagina, while others had a distinctly boob-like appearance. My amusement grew in strength with each passing plant, and I started to giggle uncontrollably when I spotted one that looked like a butt.
What is it?
The plants, I said in a breathless voice. They're so funny looking. I want to know what they're called. Where did they come from? Is this normal? I gestured to a flower with a giant clit-looking thing blooming from between the petals, but Una only looked even more confused.
The vagibloom? What's so funny about it?
Una, I said as I swallowed my laughter. Una, seriously, it looks like a vagina.
Vagina?
Una tilted her head to the other side. I pointed to the place where her legs met, and then her violet orbs widened with sudden realization. The cat girl peered around at the plants and succulents with newfound perspective, and she began to giggle uncontrollably.
Oh, it does!
She gasped between fits of laughter.
It really does look like, well, me. I never noticed before.
The blue-purple cat girl laughed so hard she fell to the ground and began to roll around in fits while she held both hands over her stomach. She narrowly missed the spines of a nearby succulent, and then she hopped nimbly to her feet again as she attempted to catch her breath. I was impressed with her nimble grace, and I wondered if what she'd said was true. Did I have magic sperm?
You have opened my eyes, Alex,
Una said, and she sucked in her breath before another fit of laughter overpowered her.
I'm happy to have been of service,
I said, as I flourished down into a deep bow.
Carry on, beautiful.
We walked a little further as I pointed to each plant, and Una explained the names for every one as we roared with laughter. It was slow going, but I didn't care. I couldn't remember the last time I laughed so hard, and that included the night of the Giggle Juice celebration.
This one,
I requested with a red face, as I pointed to a small shrub with what looked like testicles hanging from it, complete with a spattering of peach fuzz.
Peanut nuts.
I cackled like a 12-year-old boy, and Una watched me with amusement. Then I regained my composure long enough to point to another.
Okay. This one.
That is a horny dog,
Una said, and a wry smirk stretched one corner of her lips up.
It is said if you eat the fruit, then you will want to mate for days.
So it's like plant Viagra.
What is Viagra?
It's a pill, which is kind of like a potion, but it makes your dick hard for hours.
I grinned.
I suppose all the land and earth aren't so different after all.
Appeal,
Una said slowly, as her ears flattened against her head.
Do they come with opposition effects as well?
Sort of, I shrugged. Everything has pros and cons, even on Earth.
A cloud passed overhead, and Una's eyes leapt to the rainbow sky. The cat girl peered closely at the sun's swift progress toward the western horizon, and then she began to pull me down the trail again.
Let us hurry,
Una said, and she took my hand in hers.
We must get to the field of tulips before the sun sets.
I quickened my pace to match hers, and the two of us raced across the desert scene. I couldn't see any fields of flowers anywhere, but I trusted the beautiful cat girl to lead me in the right direction. I noticed several more giant footprints as we crossed the landscape, but we didn't slow down to inspect them. They were still headed in the same direction as we were, so it would be simple enough to continue the trail once we acquired the wings of a bat bee. All the land seemed never-ending, and the more I explored, the more I realized how much more there was to learn about this wild dreamland. No one from Earth would believe me if I ever got the chance to tell them about what I'd experienced so far, but I didn't know if I would care. It was like this world was made specifically for me, and I was happy with that. Now, I just needed to remove the looming threat of the Dark King so I could enjoy the playground I'd somehow woken up in. First, though, I would help Una create her potion, and then I would use my special immunity to help the people of all the land face off against the evil overlord and his teeming minions. I was the dreamer, and I wasn't going to let a few nightmares ruin my fun, even if it meant I had to be the one to end the reign of terror of some faceless evil. I knew I could do it, though. Anything I imagined was possible in all the land.